Welcome to the presentation for results for the third quarter of 2020 for Grupo Sura. I'm Silvia and I will be your operator today. Right now, all participants are muted. Later, you will have a question and answer session. For the people who are listening in English or those who are on the website, you can send your questions through the platform. Please keep in mind that this teleconference is being recorded. As of now, I'll give the floor to Mr. Juan Carlos Peña, Manager of Investor Relations, to start the conference. Good morning. Welcome to the presentation for results for the third quarter of 2020 for Grupo Sura. On the agenda, we have a pre-recorded session where we discuss the results, and then we will have the questions and answers. Grupo Sura, Gonzalo Perez, our president, Ricardo Jaramillo, our vice president of finance, Juan Luis Mundera, vice president of legal affairs, and Monica Guarino, vice president of corporate affairs. And our affiliates, Carlos Defendo, the vice president of finance for Sud Asset Management, Juan Camilo Parra, manager of investors for Sudamericana. Welcome, and I'll give the floor to our president, Gonzalo Perez. Once again, everyone, thank you for your attendance to this presentation for results for the third quarter for Grupo Sura. We will now talk about, first, about the strategy that has brought around these 9 months for the affiliates and the group, and later, Ricardo will go more deeply into the financial results. From the beginning, we've been telling you what our strategy has been like, and I want to repeat it because it's still valid. First of all, when we started the pandemic, we said, let's take care of our people, both the human talent for the company, which we've been done that, fortunately, with more than 10,000 employees in the health area, and obviously the people who are members of our companies. Thus, today, we can say that by taking care of our people, we've managed to include 2,300 new individuals to work in our health area. This means two important effects. First is to improve our health system. We, right now, at Sudamericana, have 0.70% of our vitality, when world has 2.4. For example, Colombia has 2%. So we have less than 30% of the mortality that they have around the world. This is the result of a strategy, and also, as we were saying, because we have 2,300 new people that are also in support of the reactivation of the country. So there we continue to work on these results, taking care of our people, our employees, and ourselves, our employees, and obviously the people who are members of our different products of the company. We've also said that after the people, we're going to meet our objectives and our promises through our activities in what we've told our customers about the solutions, the products, and our services. So we've always looked for creating value here. What we found is that the strategies that we've had at the various affiliates for creating value, for being competitive in our companies, in our people, has been reality. We're always talking about that well-being is good and creating value for the companies is good. We have good examples of how developing this strategy has had an impact on small and medium-sized companies. So asset management, generating new products and new solutions for financing the very, very small companies, and also for the medium-sized companies. We have had attending strategic risks for those small and medium-sized companies. We've had more than 82,000 small and medium-sized companies in this pandemic, helping them with their competitiveness and sustainability. So this is even more valid through the pandemic than we had initially at the beginning of the year. That value creation has had some very important results as well, because we've seen that in the revenue of the companies. When Ricardo will talk about the results, financial results, you'll see that the results for the companies have been increasing. And in spite of the pandemics, in spite of the economic impact that period, both South American and Sud Asset Management have maintained a very much higher levels of revenue than we had expected during the first quarter. The revenue for our companies are still healthy. There's no doubt that they are. This is a result of value creation in helping out the expectations of what we could do in our affiliates, Sud Asset Management and Sud Americana. And the other thing that's been very important, and we had said it earlier before speaking about the liquidity and solvency of this operating model, in addition to efficiency, more than it's an operating model. This, the two affiliates in Grupo Suda, every day were going through that to facilitate the operating model to make it more efficient from the point of view of expenses, but also to allow us to develop our strategies. So our goals are above the expenses and our levels of efficiency. Both companies, both affiliates have been working in depth on those operating models, and this will allow us to achieve better margins, but at the same time, as we build value for the customers and both companies. So it's not only taking care of the expenses and efficiency, we're also taking care of our strategy at times like this, eliminating processes, a strategy that allows us to have results that, as we will see, and I mentioned earlier, these results are no doubt are better than what we were expecting. For also, it's very clear also that every day, we have to work on each one of these criteria, straight to taking care of the health and the revenue, creating value for the people, for the companies, through our affiliates, and to take care of our operating model. We also have three further months to end the year. We will continue to work on this with all the tools that we've been using, which fortunately are providing very good results, much better than we had expected as a result of the pandemic. In summary, there's a strategy that is working for our affiliates. There's a strategy that means that we're creating value. We are keeping on with the strategy, and more than ever, we have to be faithful to the strategy, to the customers, to create value to the customers. We have to take care of the revenue and to keep our loyalty. And we have achieved that, and that is why the company's revenues, as Ricardo will show, in the middle of the pandemic, we're still having very healthy revenue. So, truth be told, all of you, thank you for your confidence, as always, and we want to leave you with Ricardo, who will go into tell you more about the results of the companies in Grupo Suda, and also in the balance sheet and the solvency and liquidity that we had set up as part of our strategy, as a strategy, but especially during these times of pandemics. Thank you once again for your company, and we'll go with Ricardo, and then we will have all your questions and answers. Thank you, Gonzalo, and cordial welcome to all investors. I want to start by telling you an update to the financial risk management. We have a key point that we were saying, which is the managing the soundness and the solid liquidity. We started with a stress test process that has enabled us to become, take an early action and to manage our cash flows for 2021. What I can tell you is that both soundness and the liquidity of the companies are in very good position, improving throughout the year. And secondly, during these early actions and what we've worked close to 2.3 billion pesos in the various companies of Americana, Sud Asset Management, and Grupo Suda. Specifically, the payment of our debt by 519,000 pesos, where we have amortized some of our debt, and secondly, a refinancing or a management of a 1.6 7 million pesos, where we have 1.3 in Grupo Sura and close to 400,000, 365,000 million in Sura Asset Management. This has enabled us to have some important benefits. The significant rate of reduction in Sura Asset Management, we have approximately 100 base points now. And in addition, we have extended our average life of close to 7.5 years plus, and also we have a natural coverage for our debt by having revenue in pesos and the expenses associated in pesos. This, to summarize, management, we have ratified the different ratings for the three companies, Grupo Sura, Sura Americana, and Sura Asset Management. From the point of view of risk, I want to point out, obviously, we're monitoring all the risks that we can have in company, both strategic and operating, but we have to point out. One is the seriousness and duration of the pandemic. There's recent news which are positive about the possible vaccine. However, as we said earlier, we're in a position that because of our knowledge and the good management of the company, we are able to mitigate the situation. Gonzalo was talking about the mortality, 0.7% in Colombia, which I think it's very significant. It shows our ability to manage the pandemic. The second point is the management with the vis-a-vis the regulatory changes. And I want to give you a specific detail of one, not a specific country. We want to talk about a long-term view for the system, specifically about a strategy that is supported on five pillars. One, which is the creation of value for our customers or clients. We know we have to be the best service providers. This makes us strong, and our clients will support us in during difficult times. And secondly, is operating efficiency. This has enabled us to accelerate certain transformations, leveraging our technology. For example, in Chile, the digital channel in Chile that we had talked to you earlier is 40% of our new entries in the new activities in Chile or in the ASP is through the digital channel. We have optimized the capital focused on resources with total efficiency in our management capital for new investments, and we have democratized our capital. And I think this is very important to point out that the efficiency of the systems, these systems throughout the years in creating, and we have to be very visible. The fact that today our members, all of those as the pension system members, are the dynamics of the economies. The main owners of the companies, in the case of Colombia, are the members of the pension funds. This is very important because the democratization of capital and the supporting the governments in terms of making the economy more dynamic. We have a lot of dialogue with this is the value of the systems and to create the awareness of how these systems are fundamental for the future. And there's a major challenge is that the benefit of our pension systems is reflected in the future. It is not so short-term. So we have to have a lot of dialogues to show this dialogue that this is the future. This is a very general strategy that we are not just looking at the pensions. Let's go to this next slide where we will see the statements of results for Grupo Sura. I'll start with the statement of results and tell you that we maintain that, as we said, Gonzalo, with significant growth of our revenue, vis-a-vis the profits are positive, supported by very, very important operating dynamics. And you can see the revenue, the first three lines, which are associated to the businesses of our affiliates, are still positive. The premiums and revenue through commissions are positive. This gives us a lot of peace of mind. And this shows us that taking care of our revenue is being a major priority. And I can point out two accounts that we will see in more detail later, which is revenue from investments and the net for participation. If you can look at the table left on the left-hand side, variation of those accounts is about 1.2 billion pesos less compared to the previous year. Let's keep that in mind because this is important. means that the operating revenue is decreasing by 3.3, which, as I said, for a situation like the one we've been living through this year, is much better than expected. We have a very strong control of operating expenses. They're going up to 2.9, and operating profits of 1.4 billion pesos, growing 40%. And you can see that the variation vis-a-vis the previous year is less than we had, 1.2 billion, which is in operating profits and net profits. And net profits is 398,000 million pesos, with a difference of 1.1 billion compared to previous year. We have it clearly, you can see that in detail in the right-hand side. There are two accounts that show this difference, and we will show you throughout the presentation. Is net participation and revenue from investments. Next slide, let me tell you about these two accounts. The first is the participation method, and I want to rely on the graph and the table. You can see the trend that we had from the participation method. This is a normal participation method, and the company should be about 300,000 million pesos, which has come from the associates every quarter, 300 million pesos per quarter. We're seeing a quarter of 184,000. Although it's below the level, it's better, and you can see the trend in the graph. It's better than we had in the previous quarter. This is supported mainly because of the Bancolombia. From that total difference of 300,000 million pesos, the difference is 515,000, which is a considerable amount in our financial statements, and we will have to continue monitoring this because it will depend on the provisioning process that the bank might have and the reactivation and post-credit in the institutions. Going down the lower part, the revenue from investments, we see 1.745 billion. Compared to the previous year, the difference is 453,000 million pesos. Point out two things. The first, 2019, remember we had a very positive year for capital markets. The 2018 was pretty so-so. We're having a year which is close to 100,000 million pesos less than 2018, but this is, it's a so-so year. As you can see the graph, we're at higher levels than the first quarter, which was perhaps the most complex. But it is a year where we have to continue to monitor with the other accounts to see what the final impact is going to be by December. Let's go to this next slide and show you what the net profits look like. We have recovery from the quarter, or especially in Sudamerica, 302,000 million pesos. This is a 1% growth. Sudamerica is maintaining its profits, and it's been able to maintain its profits even during the pandemic. We have some COVID effects impacting our results, and associated mainly to what I just showed you about the revenue from investments, and this is an important difference. In Grupo Sura, especially the main impact is also mentioned by the participation method, which mainly Bahar, Grupo Argos, Nutresa, Bancolombia, in this case also Protección. This we can see that graphically in the bottom part, and just illustrates what I'm showing you. And compare the profits from 2019 to 2020, and we have the effect of the Sura Asset Management cash and the participation in Grupo Sura. Let's now go to Sudamericana. I want to point out five main messages to understand the numbers in the accumulated for the 9 months and for the quarter. First, the growth of revenue was healthy. It's 13.36 billion, 10% growth, driven by mandatory health close to 21% growth, and others growing at 7%. This is the first measure, which is very important. The second, the rate of losses in different economies as they've gone back to normal, the loss level, the accident level, has been increasing. There's an expenses during to COVID, especially life, health, and ARL in Colombia. The fourth is a very strong control of other expenses. And fifth, a component for diversification, which I think is very important, and I want to show you in the next slide. This diversification component shows that the life company, which is the most heavily impacted by the pandemic, is having a decrease in profits, but general insurance, general provisions are making up for that decrease, and you can see it to 102,000 in the case of life, less compared to 228,000 positive in general insurance. And this also brings a message that I want to show you more detail, and is the component of diversification, which began to have a higher weight, especially outside of Colombia. The other positive message in the graph is how the composition of the profits of the comparison of 2019, how you can see that the profits for Sudamericana, if we exclude the effect of the sale to the company that we had in 2019, and which is close to 33,000 million pesos, which are added to the statement of results of the 2019 statement of results, our own company's results is close to 12.6% higher. And let's go now to the segments. We have this life segment. Point on what we mentioned earlier, the growth in premiums, mostly driven by health. However, and this is very important for what I was mentioning earlier, there's an increase in the rate of accidents, especially in work related accidents. First, the message is the 7.6% increase in premiums, and the whole segment in the 7% of the pandemic losses. Some investments is mainly in Colombia. They're associated to the decrease in inflation. Most of the portfolio is indexed to inflation, so the inflation is right now, we have an impact due to that financial results, the financial results from investments, which also added to the losses in the investments and increases our profits. This is 197,000 million pesos in profits. Labor risk, we have higher accident rates, and previously was close to 40%. And in this business, right now, is 69% so far this year. This is aligned with the curves of infections in the country, also associated to the business of Sudamericana. And since we have managed this from the company, that control of those losses. I'm going to the next slide about general insurance. We wanted to point out what we said earlier by Ricardo. They're supported by some operating results and the higher profits from international operations. The green line is a trend to recovery. We're still not positive in terms of accumulated growth. We have a minus 3.8 in the premiums, but in combined ratio, it's coming to similar levels to what we had before the COVID. We want to say that the investment from revenue on the left-hand side has a very important recovery of our portfolio in Argentina. And the most important thing that I want to point out here is in the lower right-hand side is how the contribution of the profits from the companies outside of Colombia in 2017 and what it looks like in this first quarter. And previously it was 50%, now it's almost 73%. The profits between 2017, 152,000 went up to 2,021 million. Colombia not only decreased, but also they had a significant increase of the operations outside, aligned with the message we had with our profits process to get our more profits. And this is specifically important because they're helping us. They're helping us to make up for the pandemic effects that we are seeing that in Colombia today. Let's go to the next slide, and we'll see the health segment. The health segment, I want to point out that even with the current situation that we've repeated, it's having positive profits. We continue the number of members. We're almost at 4 million people with an accumulated growth of 23.4% in revenue, or 4.1 billion in revenue. The slide on the right-hand side graph shows that the costs are highly controlled, and we can see in the lower part that profits are 16,000 million positive. Remember that 19 was a very complex year because we had a lot of members coming in from other APS in a migration that impacted initially our losses, and that's why we had such a significant increase. Although in this segment, in spite of the complexity of these 8 months, in terms of health, we're still resilient, it's still growing. We have a growth in controlling our costs and expenses. Let's go to Sura Asset Management. And in our slide 17, I want to point out that the revenue from commissions are keeping up even with lower rates in the countries. The cash reserves have affected our results. Our main company revenue is a positive, even with the unemployment rate is still very positive. We have 248,000 million pesos compared to the previous year, which associated that to the investments. And we have a method of participation in which the participation in Protección, which also has an impact because of the revenue from investments. So we're talking about 341,000 million pesos. 341,000 million pesos, which have been gathered through this period where we see operating profits with a difference of 422,000 million pesos. We're coming to 642 million pesos. And we have a difference of 328,000 million pesos, which I say is mainly associated to the impacts that if we look at the right-hand side of the graph, the volatility that we had, the reserve is the cash position, which is we needed for the pension funds and which is invested, that reflects the funds, and that the funds are currently have had a volatility due to the financial markets. But this is relative. The operating profits for the third quarter 2019 without the reserves, 181,000 million pesos, and the relative 188,000 million pesos without the growth for 2020, we maintain the same operating profits for the business. Let's go to page 18, where we want to show you the main figures for the savings for retirement. Let's start with the graph up left upper part, 5.1 million. And I want to separate the past part about the flow, which in some countries like Uruguay had a percentage from Peru and Chile, and the part of AUM, which is Mexico, and a part from Peru. And you can see that over by AUM is growing at 11%. And the flow, which is more associated to unemployment, we're decreasing 11.6%. These two have a very balanced growth. We're growing at 6.9%. This is part of the situation from the economic point of view. This is a UN positive growth, and we're maintaining our expenses as a percentage of revenue and at the same amount as we had last year compared to the third quarter of 2019. We have a good dynamics in the growth of the AUN in Mexico. It has grown 8.2% in revenue. Let's go to the next slide, slide 19. Savings for investment and the investment management business. First, we have in the 16.2% growth. This leads us to have an accumulated growth for revenue of 17.2%. It's almost 232,000 million pesos. Third, we have a net flow for the quarter, which is 2.9 billion. And in the first 9 months, is 17%, 7.4 billion, which is very challenging time for, but it's still positive. And the fourth message is that the growth that we're seeing in expenses in this segment is 10.3%. Why is that important? Because when we compare to this growth of 10.3 compared to the growth of 17.2%, it shows that the road to the point, to the break-even point is right on. This is the end of my participation. Thank you very much. And now let's go to the section of questions and answers, which is a live session. Thank you. Now you have your question and answer session. We'll start the verbal questions from in Spanish. For those who are asking in English, please ask your questions through the platform. If you have a question in Spanish, please push start number in your phone. If you want to have a, ask a question, push star 1. We have Julia Nastic from Alieno Corredores. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the presentation. I have two questions, which more about your vision for the instability in Peru and the impact that this might have, both in the investments in the business. You mentioned something about in other countries has been allowed us to offset part of the results of the pandemic. Give us a little more information about these other countries. How have they affected the results? What segments are out of water? What has affected us? Thank you for your questions. First, about the political situation in Peru, obviously, this affects the market. That's totally obvious. But for us, we've been trying to get ahead of the political situations in the countries. For example, we have very efficient operating models, which make our expenses can have much better positions. So that operating model will help us, but we are focusing that on being very efficient. And we, as administrators of mandatory pension funds, we have to be as the most efficient we can. We believe that what's happened in both in Chile and Peru has given us a lot of positioning from fund managers, because the savers in those funds, they want to protect their money. It's a money that is totally outside. You've been working in every country with the opinion that makers, but also we're working with the risk in the chambers to make sure what the benefits that not only the benefits for the savers, but also for the entire country. So we shouldn't be indifferent to the politics, but we have to be being very efficient and getting, anticipating on this situation. So we're always creating value for the people who are saving. We're creating value for the country, and creating obviously for the company. So it's not an easy moment in Peru, but we know that we are watching out what the system can do, and we insist that we are proving to all the savers in the country that we are the savings that are owned by each worker and the salaries that they are helping the country. So we are anticipating this efficiency factor that Ricardo mentioned. We are taking, giant strides, and this is going to be making it possible to have very positive results in each country. So this, in general, this is mandatory insurance, part of our strategy and our philosophy. We had said that very early in the year. We're going to be very positive for everybody. I have to make two comments. One is we're going to have greater growth in Latin America, but also a rate of informality, which in Latin America will have to go down in this year and the next year. We're going to have to go through that deficit due to the COVID. It's going to be difficult, but we have to be aware that we have to move towards formality and equilibrium, and it's going to be important for all the products that are of a mandatory nature. And in other countries, in the case of Sudamericana, basically, there are some countries that have very good results from the point of view of profits. Mexico has a very important growth in profits. They recovered a year that was pretty poor last year. The Dominican Republic has had very good profits compared to the trends in the previous years. Argentina, you know that the performance of the investments affected close to 70,000 million pesos last year. This year they've been recovering this year in part, and they've had some positive results. And Chile also had some hard times in previous years, and the year before that. So we had better results. So in general, most countries have better results. You know that these are companies that are mostly in the mandatory businesses, and they're also going into life and auto businesses. And we're working very hard on, I don't know whether Ricardo or any other of my colleagues would like to, or Juan Camilo, can add anything to that answer. About Peru. Peru, it's a business, not only because of the crisis for the last week. We've had a significant impact, also because of measures that have been taken by the previous Congress. Right now, we have a commission or a committee installed that were reviewing proposals for the mandatory business. We had set out some first guidelines, but there was a sort of, they were taken back, and they gave another 60 days for review the study. So we don't really know when these initiatives will come to Congress. for study, but we are on hold. What a little bit more peace of mind is because it would seem that the person that was accepted by Congress yesterday has been more broadly accepted. That could help a key impact on the economic reform of the country. So from the point of view of the measures that we've taken previously, we have an impact of the mandatory business, both because of the withdrawal of the AUMs and because of the month that we didn't charge the commissions, but that has brought us a positive factor, an awareness by the savers that that money is theirs. And it also happened in Chile that they've tried to defend some of our characteristics of the system, but also for us there has been a very important increase in the AUMs and the revenue in the non-mandatory business, which is the other side of this equation of the OEMs, which is driving the Peruvian economy. So we hope that at least that this commission will have a date for when this is going to be studied in Congress after they define when the president is elected. We have no further questions. No further questions? We have a question through the webcast platform from Felipe Torres, and it has to do with the metrics what the ratings for the SURA-M and the debt net to EBITDA for Grupo Sura. I'll start with the Grupo Sura, and then I'll give the floor to Carlos to talk about the Sura M. For 2020, we have some estimated dividends of $1.03 billion. The indicator, when we look at those that revenue from dividends compared to the debt, is going to be going up a little bit because we anticipated the increase of debt for a billion pesos, but that was accepted in May when it expires. And my suggestion and those conversations we had with the rating agencies, we should look at that because we have that invested then in wait for the effect of the amortization. That is the first point, that, for example, we have no concerns in that respect, and this is an indicator which had been about 4.2, which is a little decrease. The second one is compared to 2021 and 2022. I want to be realistic here. The dividends for Grupo Sura for 2021 and for 2022 clearly will have an impact because they come from the results that we will have in the companies this year. So we've had some ratings with the rating agencies, and they will ratify our grade, not only because of the indicator, but also because of all the indicators and all the mechanisms that we have to manage liquidity at Grupo Sura and our anticipated cash flow for 2021. We're going to have an increase in 2021 and 2022 because the net dividends might be around 70 or 80% of what we had right now. I don't have an exact figure. We'll have to wait for the third quarter, But what we've been working with the rating agencies have shown that this is a temporary impact that will be having a recovery. Our cash flow indicator is totally under control, and the value of the portfolio vis-a-vis debt is also in very good situation. They have degree options. So we have some 54% of our portfolio is in liquid companies. So that gives the rating agencies a lot of peace of mind, because that gives them the basis to maintain our rating. We'll see this improve. We have to wait. In our management ideas is to continue with the strategy to reduce our leverage. Carlos, now for you to tell us about Sura Asset Management. Thank you, Ricardo. About Sura Asset Management, we have a debt of $1 billion approximately. 850,000 million from bond issues that we had with maturities in 2024 and 2027. That's $150,000 million with local banks. $150 million. 93% of the debt is covered. Now the. In terms of leverage, if we take the gross debt over EBITDA, that ratio is 2.9 times. If we take into consideration the positive behavior of the side of the swaps for the coverage, we have to 2.5. And if we consider the cash that we have in highly liquid advance, the indicator would be 2.3 times with the rating firms. We have between 2.4 and 3, 2.3 and 4 and 5. So that they would have good ratings for our investments. Any further questions, Sylvia? Because we have nothing else through the platform. Question from Andres Soto in Santander. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. My question is a follow-up of the Ricardo for the. When I look at when I convert the dividends for 2020. Almost 35% is given by Grupo Argos, and they wouldn't be able to distribute dividends in 2021. So this is intriguing that we have such a good outlook for the next year, when Argos is going to go down to by 35%. I don't see where the Sudamericana or Sud Asset Management. Let me know what are you basing those expectations on to have these level of dividends. Good morning, Andres. There are several things about this question. Bancolombia this year has extraordinary dividends, and that will reach the first quarter of 2021. That affects that 35% that you're calculating. That's the first point. When we look at the affiliates, we have the expectation of maintaining. Sorry. when we look at the affiliates, we see the expectation of growth for their profits and the ability to deliver dividends. There's a growth there, and we also have the growth associated with what historically we've seen in the company. And in view of that, and those 80% that I mentioned earlier, this is figured that in 21 is going to be low, and in 22 it's going to be higher. This figure is we don't want to commit to, because it's very important what happens in this last quarter, but be aware that we are estimating about 70%. That's the message, and remember that those components, to answer your previous question, Andres. Thank you, Ricardo. Thank you for your answer. So that is with respect to the distribution of dividends of Grupo Sura. So you're going to buy or take some cash flow to reduce the debt, or what are you going to have distribute dividends at Grupo? We have to have a very efficient management of those available resources. This will depend on discussion with our board of directors after the assembly, which, speaking about dividends, it's too early, but what I can give you is a message from the outlook that we want. As far as we can, we want to maintain the dividends we are paying and hopefully not to affect the debt, not to increase our debt, and to maintain our dividends for the shareholders. We are aware that we have a job to do here, and that is why we think that being prudent and managing our cash flow will allow us to reach this goal. So, Ricardo, thank you very much for your question. We must continue working very conscientiously on the efficiency of our equity. As you said, the merger of the ARL and Nvidia and Suramericana, Colombia, liberated about 400,000 million pesos, a bit more, 500,000 million pesos. This year, we're close to $54 million in equity efficiencies in the case of Sura Asset Management. And we have to continue to look at that with very good internal solvency ideas, which are very much higher than the regulators, but we have to be looking at what more capital efficiency we can achieve. That will also help our, like last year, it would liberate our net profits, but also it could ultimately give us some cash flow or liquidity. Thank you for your answers. We have no further questions. Mr. Juan Carlos Gomez, final comments? No, thank you for connecting, and Gonzalo will say goodbye. Everyone, thank you very much for connecting to this call for results. We hope that the next call will be even better than we were expecting at the end of this year. We are on to some is the very, very important to obviously keep everyone's healthy. It's very important because there's an estimate that we mentioned it earlier that we want to mention it. We don't have it in our hand. What would have happened if our death rate would have been the same as the 2.4, 2.8 around the world instead of 7.7? That is part of caring for our people. This is mostly our employees and our members and our affiliates. It's only not only important because it reflects their lives situations, but also for other companies. We have to keep very close watch on everyone and on the companies to help them with the reactivation. So we hope that this last quarter will be better than we initially forecast. As you well know, this one has been better. And we thank you for very much for the questions and your attendance and your interest, and you always find us ready to answer any questions that you might have during this next quarter, because this is a very special time. Thank you very much. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You can disconnect now.